Can we all agree in something? We all live in very uncertain times, don't we? We really do. The only thing that's certain is uncertainty. I thought of a few things. How about Hurricane? What was her name? Flo. Man, that just, was that it, Flo? Florence. Why'd I say Flo? I don't know. Anyway, Hurricane Florence. Man, hurricanes. Is there anyone else here I'd like to sit through a cat too? Just say you did. No. Me? Oh, I see two of you back there. I see two more. Jeff, I'm right. Yeah. You have. All right. How was it? It's not. Oh, well, you didn't get to enjoy it. I want to be the guy out there leaning into the wind just one time. And then last week we remembered the 9/11 tragedy. How many of you guys remember where you were that morning? Man, I'm going to tell you, that changed everything. I got to thinking about if you went outside, if you remember, we went outside and you looked into the sky and there were no airplanes. I mean, that's wild, you know. And truthfully, life hasn't been the same since. We've gotten to a new normal, but it's not the same. So, you know, another uncertainty. And then the wildfires. Have you seen that stuff? That's crazy. And there's not anything you could do. It just kind of comes and eats your house. It's terrible. And there's some others like, will the Cowboys ever win another Super Bowl? I mean, that's weighing on us, right? How would you like to be in game two like they are today and they're saying, the season hinges on this. Dak Prescott, this is the game of your career. or how about watching TV? I don't know about you, but TV constantly tells me I'm inadequate. I'm too old, I'm too short, I'm too overweight, I'm just unhappy. You know, TV is constantly reminding us of how uncertain life is and how inadequate what you have is. It's a bummer, you know. It really can be. We got to be careful there. And how about politics? Can I just say, got real quiet in here. Whoa. Okay. Can I just say this? On both sides of the aisle, we've just gotten ridiculous. It's time that we get back to loving each other and trying to find answers that help people. And it doesn't matter which side of the aisle that you walk on, and it's okay. But I'm telling you, we are living in some uncertain times politically because we'd rather just fight than try to help people and find answers. So we have uncertainty there. How about this? The battle for the home. Man, what a struggle today just to keep a family together, to keep a marriage together and make it in uncertain days. And then how about inside, you know, our society? What a terrible thing that happened in Dallas last week. I tell you, the truth's going to be known, but it's terrible. How terrible a thing. An outstanding young man loses his life in what's supposed to be the safest place in the world, outside the mom's womb. And that poor police officer, if it is as they say it is, I mean, her life is forever changed. And then, unfortunately, the Fort Worth police officer who lost his life. I mean, we live in uncertain times. If we want to begin answering questions in our world politically, we could just begin by all agreeing we live in uncertain times. Because we're wrestling with uncertainty, I want us to take just a moment to pray. That just for the next few minutes, we can focus our mind's attention and our heart's affection. We could push aside all the uncertainties in our life and hear what God says can and will be certain in our lives. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord, yes, there's so many things that are uncertain in our lives. And Father, today, I specifically lift up the family, the church, and the community in Dallas as they're working through these tragic events. Father, we ask that truth would be revealed, Lord. And Father, we pray for Fort Worth, for those who stand on the line between chaos and calm. Father, we thank you for this man who invested his entire life trying to make wrong right. Father, we pray that you would bless them today. Father, we pray that in these next few moments, we may be reminded or maybe see for the very first time that there are some things in life that are certain in the midst of all the uncertainty. Lord, speak to our hearts. Give us faith and courage to respond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, today I wanted to take just a couple of minutes and I wanted to talk about, in light of the uncertainty, there is a rock and a refuge that's available to us today. In the midst of all that we talked about and even more, see, I didn't even get what's going on in your life. There's probably uncertainties going on in your life. We've got young couples moving toward parenthood. And, well, I'm going to tell you, there's some uncertainties in that, isn't there? Huh? And we got some couples moving towards empty nesting, and we got people moving towards college, all those things. But I want you to know that in the midst of all of the uncertainty of life, there are some certainties. And there is a place where you and I and the balance of our world can find refuge in the midst of these days. I want to look at our focus passage today, Psalms, the 46th chapter, and the first 11 verses. You can read there with me if you have your Bibles. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolation in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now, back in my day, we had Cliff Notes. Today, I think they're called Sparks. Is that what it is? Is that where you get the cheat notes from? You used it, didn't you? A lot. Oh, yeah. I graduated in Sparks. Spark Notes. Well, here's your Spark Note. God is our refuge and our strength and a very present help in trouble. In uncertain days, there is a certainty. In troubled days, there is a place of refuge. Where can we go? Where can we hide? Where can we rest? Where can we grow? Where can we prevail? Well, the Bible says there's one place, and his name's God. And so let's look. There's three simple facts I want to share with you today. God is our refuge. The word refuge means a shelter, hope, trust. It speaks of a place of safety. Do you have a place in your life that when you go there, it could be at home, it could be here, but when you go there, it's almost like you can breathe deeper. I'm 53 years old, and when I go to my parents' house, it's a place of refuge to me. I feel like a child again. Because in my parents' house, when I was younger and much more foolish, I didn't have worries of this world. All I had to worry about was, what am I going to do next? Well, you see, God promises to be a refuge and safety. Yes, trouble comes to all of our lives, but God is our refuge. He protects us in times of trouble. One of the greatest misconceptions of Christianity is that Christians shouldn't go through times of trial and tribulation. My friends, the Bible never says that. The truth is, as we read the Bible, some of the greatest triumphs come through the tribulation. It's like today, I have allergies. Anyone else have allergies today? I feel like someone is pinching my nose on the inside. It's the craziest thing. You see, I don't think about breathing until I'm restricted in my breathing. And then once it stops, you do this. Oh, that's so nice. Ladies and gentlemen, trials and tribulations come to us all. The difference between us and someone else is where do we go and how do we thrive in midst of that? Let's look here. Proverbs 18:10 says this, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Where do we run in the midst of uncertainty? Now, there's some great places to run. It may be our spouses. It may be our families. It may be our doctors. It may be the hospital, depending on how sick you are. There are places in which we can run, but if we're honest, even the greatest places here on earth have the risk of faltering, failing, or not meeting our expectations. But the Bible says when we go to the Lord, you know what? The Lord bats 1,000 every time. He hits a home run every time at the plate. He always gets your diagnoses right the first time. He always has the answer. He always has the cure. He always has those things. He says the righteous run to him. I don't know about you. I haven't run much lately, and that's my sin. But I'm going to tell you, in the right My ADD, I'm sorry. In the right motivation, you can run. I went to a youth camp, Dad, you don't know this, but I went to a youth camp one time, and it was famous because the camp director could tell horror stories. And they trotted us out in the woods, and he told us this horror story, and you know what? He was really good. And I remember hustling my little 11-year-old keister on this rock road, and I mean, I am running like the devil himself is after me. Fell down, skipped both my knees, and I kept going. I was running. Didn't know where I was running to, but I knew where I was running from. You see, the things of this world, as good as they are, we can run to those, but even those are inadequate compared to the Lord. You see, the Lord never changes. There's no shadow in him. His expectations never change. He never diminishes in his capabilities. We can run to the Lord in the midst of uncertain times, and we can have absolute certainty that he's there. It's not deliverance from the storm. I can't tell you how many people over my years of ministry who have walked away from the church, who have walked away from fellowship, who have walked away from seeking the Lord because in their minds they faultfully thought or they were sinfully taught that as a believer you should never go through tribulations. My friend, that's just not true. God doesn't promise to deliver us from tribulation, but he promises he'll walk with us through it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. You see, ladies and gentlemen, inside the church, inside the capital C church, one of the greatest struggles we face is this wrong believism. God is not our get out of jail free card. God is, I will walk through it with you. Because the beautiful thing is when you walk through the tribulation and you come out on the other side, you're better for the walk. You're stronger for the walk. And even greater than those two things, you know what you are? You're equipped to help someone else walk. When you persevere and overcome, then you can come alongside someone else and you go, honey, I know exactly what you're going through. And you do. Ladies, I can tell you, ladies, I know exactly what it's like when you go through childbirth. Wrong. I don't want to. I don't even want to pretend like I do. But ladies, when you're talking to another mom and she goes, I know what you're going through, they do know. That is a unique gifting and preparation that only the circumstances and perseverance can give you. When we look at the scars of life, they uniquely equip us to help other people. Psalms 18 says this, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Have you ever made that phone call and that phone call doesn't get picked up? I was thinking the other day, I'm old enough. I remember when if you weren't home to pick up the phone, you missed the phone call, right? I'm even old enough to remember that if someone else picked up the party line, you might not get that call. Oh, you want Bob? Well, call back and I won't pick up. When we make that call to God, he always answers. He always answers. And what's really neat is this, is we don't have to hope he's too distracted. My son's off at pharmacy college, and he's reading a lot. And every now and then we'll call him, and we've really interrupted him. You could tell, hello? Hey, what are you doing? Nothing. We've interrupted him. Can I say this? Every time you call upon the Lord, you're not interrupting him, not one bit. Isn't that nice to know? He always has time for us. He always has an ear for us. The second simple fact is this, is God is our strength. The word means power, might, boldness, or to be mighty. Can I ask you this? When uncertainty comes into our life, does it make you stronger or weaker? I got to tell you, our first response is it makes us weaker. We find anxiety in our mind. We find anxiety in our heart. We might go out and try to answer the questions of our own volition, and it just wears you down. You know, our family went through a really difficult time in life about 6 weeks ago and preceding that, and every day I just woke up tired. Every day I just felt like I never slept, and the world, it's true that the world is ran by tired people, and we need strength, and where do we go? How can we have it? The Bible says that God can be our strength. Yet at these times, God is able to strengthen us, first of all, that we can just stand. Have you ever had a time in life when it took everything you had just to stand up? Just to find a solid piece of ground to go, this is where I'm making my stand today. I have. And if you haven't, warning, you will. You just hadn't gotten there yet. Some of our younger brothers and sisters, like those beautiful people up there, you may not have gotten there yet, but you will. And then once we stand, you know what? We got to walk on. I was counseling an individual this week who is going through a horrific event, not of their own making. And they're struggling just to stand up, much less walk on. But this is what we know, is we've got to walk on. Isaiah 40 says this, "Have you not known or have you not heard?" Heard what? "The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." Wait a minute. Lord, I got nothing. That's all right. I'll give you all that you need. Lord, I can't go on. I'll give you what you need to go on. And I'll tell you what, I'll come along. You put your arm over me, and I'll paraclete is the word. And I'll help you. I'll carry you till you can stand. I'll carry you till you can walk. And you know what? If you never walk again, I'll carry you to the finish line. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary." You remember what I said, young people? "And the young man shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint." Ladies and gentlemen, we will come to the end of ourselves, but with God, we never come to the end of Him. Amen? Amen? The third fact is this, is the provision that God gives to His people is help. Sometimes I just need help. You ever need help? Now, ladies, I don't know about you. I hadn't spent a day as a lady. I've spent a day dressed as one. That's a whole different story. But ladies, I can tell you as a man, one of the four-letter words we avoid is help. That's why we don't read instructions. Amen? I don't need those. That's why we always have extra parts. I don't know why they send all these extra parts. They must be going broke. But the truth is everyone in this room needs help. It may be a great big enchilada of help, or it may be just a little bite of help. But somewhere in there, we all need help. What's more is He doesn't do it from a distance. Have you ever had someone kind of give you instructions from the distance? Have you ever had someone walk up to you while you're working and trying to give you instructions without working alongside of you? Listen, my ears are mute unless you grab the shovel. Right? Hey, be a part of the solution. Don't just give me words of counsel. It's like at government work. One guy working and four people counseling him. But the beautiful thing about God is He's not out there somewhere just bouncing around the universe and checking in every now and then on Twitter to see how you're going. Oh, man, Jimmy's having a hard time. I better insert myself here. God is with us. The Bible says He's omnipresent. That means He's everywhere at the same time. He never diminishes, so you don't have 80% God here and 100% God in North Carolina. He's ever present with us. He's ever aware of where we are. How about this? The Bible also says that God is omniscient. Use that one tomorrow at work and you'll look really smart. It means this, He knows everything. All of the uncertainty we carry in our backpack is certainty to God. You see, everything that's future for us is present with God. Wow. It freaks me out a little bit, but I find a great deal of confidence in it. Hebrews 13 tells us this, for he himself has said, who? God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? I don't know about you, but I've had men and women walk away from me. Justified and unjustified. But God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Have you ever offered counsel to someone and they don't take it? Isn't that a joy? I was asked 2 weeks ago, they said, hey, what percentage of counseling do you do that they don't actually do what you counsel them to do? I said, I don't even want to think about it. It'll break your heart, isn't it? My dad's sitting here, and I could promise you my dad on more than one occasion gave me counsel that I completely didn't take. And my dad goes, my dad didn't leave me. Sometimes people will leave us. But God promises this. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. And it doesn't matter why you're going through it. I'm all in all the time. The only person that leaves God is us. And we'll find him right where we left him. Amen? I tell you, that brings a great deal of comfort to me because my heart is desperately wicked. Even sometimes your pastor takes a little walk. Sometimes I get involved in circumstances and my heart breaks. God, how can you even be there and this happen? I hope that doesn't make you know, but hey, I'm just being truthful. I'm a human being. I'm walking my faith journey too. God doesn't expect us to make it on our own. In fact, he knows that we can't. The challenge we face is we have to learn that we can't. It's only our pride and our fear that keeps us from seeking him. Pride is a terrible word when it's misplaced. Pride and fear. You know what the other fear is? Is this. I don't know how many times I've heard this. Well, Jimmy, I think I might like to be a Christian. I think I might like to follow Christ, but I fear I'll fail. Dun-da-da-da. You will. You will. We all do. I do. Psalms 34, for the righteous cry out and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their trouble. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. You ever had a broken heart? You might have a broken heart sitting there right now. And saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Oh, that's a certainty. You know why? Because God made the promise and God always keeps his promise. That's his promise to me. That's his promise to you. That's his promise to everyone outside that window. And that's his promise to everyone in those apartments outside that window. And that's his promise to everyone who drives by us out here at the intersection out that window. And that's the promise to everyone out there on the internet. That's his promise to all of us. I don't know about you, but I am thankful for that. It gives me courage. And it all comes down to one five-letter word, faith. That's a big word that makes a big footprint. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you here has ever expressed faith in something? This really would be where everyone lifts their hand. Let's try that again. How many people in here have ever expressed faith in something? Thank you. That's all of us. You're going to go to lunch today. And you're going to have faith that whoever prepares your food doesn't have tuberculosis. Your bride just reached over and goes, we're going home for a sandwich. You're going to get in a car today and you're going to drive 55-ish toward another car who's driving 55-ish. And you're going to have faith that both of you can stay in this little bitty lane. You see, it's not an absence of faith. The struggle that we face is this, is what we put our faith in. The Bible tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We have faith. We've all admitted it, right? Now the question is where are we putting our faith? I heard this just this morning. It's not my original, but I'm going to use it two more times and then I'm going to claim it for mine. Grace is God's acceptance of us through faith and repentance. Faith is our acceptance of God's acceptance of us. Now, that is awesome once you get through the tongue tie. Grace is God's acceptance of us. For by grace are you saved through faith. Jesus was born, lived, died, and was resurrected to extend grace to you and me. Now, faith is when I accept God's acceptance of me. And the way that I do that is I accept what God says about me, that I'm not perfect. I accept what he says about me, I need a Savior. I accept what he says about me, I need certainty in uncertain times. I accept what he says about me, I want a home in heaven one day. When I accept what he says about me, then that is my faith. When I accept God's acceptance of me. But you see, sometimes pride will get in the way. I'm just not good enough. How could God ever love me? Who are you? Who are you to limit God's ability to love? Oh, God can never forgive me. Who are you? Who are you to limit God's ability to forgive? Oh, God could never use me. Who are you? I was asked this week, Jimmy, you know, how did you pick your vocation? I didn't. With every word of my fiber, I can't tell you any more honestly than I didn't. There was a time, there was a place, there was a call to my heart. And there was nothing in my life in that moment that says, Jimmy, you should do this. There was nothing in my mind that says, Jimmy, you should do this. There was nothing in my background to say, Jimmy, you should do this. But in my heart, God wanted it all. And by faith, I said, okay. And by faith, for over 30 years now, I continue to say, okay. It's my acceptance of his acceptance of me. In light of God's provision, how should we respond to uncertain trials and conflicts? In light of what God has done for us, in light of what God offers to us, then how should we respond in uncertain times? Because they will continue. Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. We just package it different. Back in Jesus' time, gossip was word of mouth. Now it's Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, on and on and on. Do you remember when email was the fastest way to gossip about somebody? Now we don't even use that, right? We should respond in faith and not fear. Faith in what? Faith in God. Faith in the promise of his word. Faith in the promise of his provision. I'm going to have you out before the Cowboys kick off. I want to ask a quick question, a real quick survey. Now, this is not a scientific survey. Fox News and CNN cannot use this as if they necessarily use scientific surveys. I want to ask this question. You see what I did right there? I want to ask this question. If you're here today and you have experienced God's provision, protection, guidance, and deliverance in the past, would you just stand where you are? That's pretty stout. I could get elected on that. All right, thank you very much. So what we see is by the body of evidence right here, we should respond in faith. Why? Well, it's what the Bible says. That's what this body of evidence just says, even if I don't feel like it. My feelings are desperately wicked, and sometimes they betray me. Sometimes I don't feel like a Christian. Sometimes I don't want to feel like a Christian. Sometimes I'd like to just lay some hands, not even necessarily holy hands. You know what I'm saying? Got about 15 minutes of middle-aged man in me. But you see, my feelings do not determine God. My feelings do not limit God. My feelings, the only thing feelings have control over is me when I give it to them. If God is our refuge and our strength and our help, shouldn't we trust him to take care of us? Yeah. But you know what? Even when I know what he has done, out there in the uncertainty of the future, I still get a little scared sometimes. Hudson Taylor, one of the great missionaries of the last century, in the early part of the last century, was sailing to China. He couldn't fly because all the planes were booked. There weren't planes. Anyway, all right. He was sailing to China, and he was on a tall mast ship. And in his sailing, they were in the midst of islands that they knew were populated by cannibals. Now, if you don't know what a cannibal is, that means when someone invites you to lunch, you are lunch. The captain comes down and knocks on Hudson Taylor's door, and he says, "You're a Christian, right?" And he goes, "Yes." He goes, "Do you pray to God?" He goes, "Yes." He says, "I need you to pray to God. I need you to pray to God that he'll deliver us from these doldrums." Doldrums is when the wind ceases to blow. And what had happened was this great tall ship, whose only means of propulsion was wind, had no propulsion. And the current was slowly pushing them towards the cannibal islands. And if someone or something didn't intervene, dinner is served. Hudson Taylor went to praying. And as the story is told, shortly afterwards, the captain came back to Hudson Taylor's room. And he knocks on the door. And he says, "Mr. Taylor," he says, "have you been praying?" And Hudson goes, "Yes, I have." He goes, "Are you still praying?" He says, "Yes, I am." He says, "Then I need for you to stop, lest the sails will fail due to the wind." You see, the Bible tells us in Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of sound mind." Ladies and gentlemen, when we feel overwhelmed, it means we're not leaning into God enough. Because God is not deficient, I am the deficient factor in this formula. And whatever you're struggling with today and whatever you're feeling uncertain in today, lean into God. Pursue him with all that you have. Surrender all that you have to him. Trust him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the word says. And evidence has been shown he's trustworthy then. He's trustworthy today. And ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what tomorrow is, he's trustworthy. You know why? Because our tomorrow is his right now. Now, I got to tell you, my noodle wraps around that a little bit. I grind the gears. My tomorrow, and whatever that entails, is my God's today. He knows. And you know what he says? "Jimmy, I got you. A week down the road, Jimmy, I got you. A month down the road, Jimmy, I got you. A decade, 2 decades, 3 decades. Now we're really getting out towards the end of the warranty here. He goes, "Jimmy, I got you." And when I step from this life into my eternal life, God says, "Jimmy, I got you." Let us live not with arrogance, but with hope. Let us not live with this pride that says, I can do whatever I want because my heavenly Father's got me. Paul says, should I sin that grace would abound? No, we don't get to take advantage of God's grace. Who would do that to someone they love? That we can walk in confidence knowing this, that our God is able, willing, and is with us. Romans 8 tells us this, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nothing present, nor things to come, no height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, that covers it all. There's not one thing that can separate you from the love of God. Not one thing. But you can separate yourself from the confidence that the love of God can give you. I am persuaded. And you know what? I love that first part. Because I don't know about you. You may be a perfect Christian. I'm not. I need to be persuaded. Constantly persuaded. Constantly persuaded. Constantly persuaded. Because when I'm in the midst of the storm, I lean in. But when the doldrums come, I get a little lackadaisical sometimes. So I need to be constantly persuaded. So my question to all of us right now is this. If we're all living in uncertain times, and we are, we've agreed to that. In the midst of these uncertain times, who or what are you trusting in? Now, I'm not saying that there's bad, all things in life are bad, but what I'm asking you is this, is our primary confidence in something that is temporal and tainted because it's touched by the fingers of man, or is our confidence in the eternal and unchanging? Could your unconfidence right now be overcome if you would just lean in confidently to the unchanging promises of God? If you turned your eyes from the provision of man to the promise of God, could that change your uncertainties? Ladies and gentlemen, I know it can, but the choice is yours. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you this in the quietness of your heart. What uncertainty are you standing in front of right now? And by my saying that, you're looking right at it. It could be a circumstance. It could be a person or persons. By my saying that God has turned the TV on, and psh, there it is, right there. You know exactly what it is. Now, my friend, as you look at that uncertainty, whatever or whoever it is, my question to you is this, is who are you trusting in that? And if it's not God, my friend, can I invite you, please? Can I invite you, please, not based on what I say, but what God says? Can I invite you, please, not based on what I say, but based on the testimony of the majority of this audience here with you? Can I invite you, please, to turn your mind's attention, to turn your heart's affection on the Lord and lean into Him? You may be here today and you have never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You have never accepted His acceptance of you. You may think you're not good enough. You may think that you don't deserve it and all those things. My friend, as true as those may be, God loves you. Jesus gave His life for you. And God stands ready and desires to have a relationship with you so that His confidence can be your confidence. Would you place your faith in Jesus today? You could whisper a prayer something like this. It's not the prayer that saves you, but it's the faith. God, I live in uncertain times. God, I'm an uncertain person. Oh, God, I've done it my way and 100 other ways. And all those ways lead me back to uncertainty. God, I admit that I know less about You and Your Son Jesus than what I do know. But God, I ask You that You would give me the faith that I could accept Your acceptance of me. God, I need a Savior. I need Jesus. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me of my sins. Help me to know You and love You more each and every day of my life. God, help me to understand Your purpose for my life that has eternal significance. God, give me peace and comfort and confidence. Thank You for loving me. My friends, the Bible says that by grace through faith are you saved. That means that by God's grace and through your faith, that utterance, that desire has transformed you supernaturally into a child of God. And now, my friend, you have the opportunity and the responsibility of walking on from there. If you've made that decision today, I'm going to place the responsibility on you to share that with someone you're here with. Share it with me so that we can talk more about this. We want to help you begin this journey on the best footing possible. For those of us that know Jesus, my friend, we live in uncertain days. But you and I both know that God's word is certain, God's promise is certain, God's power is certain, God's deliverance is certain. My friends, let us turn our eyes from the uncertainty and lean in to the certainty of our God. For He has not diminished one thing. If there's any diminish, it's my faith in Him, not His faith in me. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, beginning with myself, Lord, that You would help us to look to You, to lean into You, Lord, to love You, to pursue You, to surrender to You anew each and every day. Lord, continue to convince us, to persuade us that You are who You are, that You are who You say You are, and Lord, that You are unchanging. Lord, we thank You for the promise of Your word. We thank You for the purposes of life, and we thank You for the promise of heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.